Well, welcome to Real Talk with Jordan Riley, where the real talk does not come from me. It comes directly from God's Word. And before we get started today, please consider subscribing to our channel, giving this a thumbs up, and supporting what we do by going to realtalkwithjordan.com. On today's episode, we're going to expose the top lies of Bethel Church in Redding, California. This church is one of the most dangerous places in all of America. And I will show you clear, undeniable proof of what they teach and why you should run from this place immediately. So are you ready? Let's go.
And I thought of those angels circling that throne, and I thought, I bet they text each other. I bet they have farting contests.
You sure about that?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, brother.
This lady sits on a stage in a church and spouts this nonsense? Come on, say it all with me. Said no verse ever. Bethel Church is destroying lives and deceiving people. And I'm not going to sit there silently and just watch as people are led to hell. So we're going to break down the top 10 lies and false teachings of this cult so that you can know the truth and help warn people. Let's make this video go viral, so that people all around the world will know the truth about Bethel Church, and in turn, they will mark and avoid it. Now, as we go through this list for the top 10, it's going to get worse and worse as we get to number one. So please stay with me till the end. Number 10, they claim that they raise people from the dead. Oh boy. That sounds fun.
I mean, honestly, in the last 2 years, we've had two dead raisings, and they both came from online school. And I don't know if we had two dead raisings in 10 years on campus school. You know, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. But twice it happened online. It's pretty cruel. Pretty cool.
Oh, amazing.
First of all, do you notice that when people make these claims that the dead are being raised, there's never any proof? I mean, in a land where we all have cell phones or some kind of recording device, no proof is ever given. There's no video evidence of them coming out of the grave or, you know, being dead for 3 days and they just woke up. No, not at all. Secondly, they think we're just supposed to believe them and take their word for it. No, absolutely not. This comes from a twisting of God's word. First, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, where Jesus told his 12 disciples, not us, by the way, to go and heal the sick and raise the dead. That's a lot of eisegesis or reading yourself into the text if you think that you're the one that Jesus gave those commands to. He did not. He gave that to his disciples. Also, Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, there's another so-called command. But if you look at it, Mark 16 ends at verse 8. Most every single Bible, I think, except for the King James Version, at verse 9 through 20, they're in parentheses. Why is that? Because those verses were never found in the most ancient, reliable manuscripts. They were added years later, centuries later, by a scribe. You need to hear that. Otherwise, if they were authorized texts and not in parentheses, then you should be drinking deadly poison and not hurt. But I don't really see anybody lining up for a big glass of deadly poison. Come on, you guys. Number 9. They say that the Holy Spirit is blue. What?
This will kind of probably offend you, but oh well.
And the Holy Spirit to me is like the genie from Aladdin.
I view the Holy Spirit like the genie from Aladdin. And he's blue. Unplanned, perfect. And he's funny. And he's sneaky. And he's courageous, and he's everywhere. And he's wonderful.
You know, the saddest part of that one is, did you hear how many people in the background were just laughing it up like they were at some comedy club? Oh, the Holy Spirit's blue. Come on, you guys. Does God think this is funny? No, absolutely not. Does this speak to the holiness of God? No, it doesn't. Let me be very clear. The Holy Spirit is God. He is a person who has a mind, a will, and emotions. He is the third member of the Trinity. This can be seen in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, Ephesians 4:30, and Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, just to name a few. So no, the Holy Spirit is not a force. He is not blue. He is not a genie. He's not an ATM machine or someone who's just there to give you what you want. He is God and he is holy. Number 8, they say that Jesus has mirrors in his armpits. And no, we're not making that up.
There's a lot, the whole lot of stuff's not in the Bible. Have you ever noticed that? You're like, where is this in the Bible? But I saw this vision one time and I saw corporately, I saw us worshiping and our worship shot up to heaven.
And all in one fluid motion, the Lord absorbed our praises and he even more so became what we declared him as.
It doesn't work that way, Jen. God is God and he is who he is.
But in the same motion, he held a mirror like under his armpit.
But he had this reflector, and as we would, our praise would just shoot up to him, this reflector, we'd say, you're beautiful, you're amazing, you're kind, you're wonderful. In one fluid motion, it would hit this reflector and shoot back to us, and the Lord would say, so are you. That's who you are.
Our praise rose up, and it shot into this reflector, and it shot back down to us, and he said, you are. So we would, as you're worshiping, we'd say, you're wonderful, Lord. And he'd hold this reflector, and he'd say, you are.
Come on, you guys. Is there any verse in the Bible that said that Jesus has mirrors in his armpits? No, not at all. Or any verses that say that, you know, when we worship, it comes back down to us. Oh, look at that. Oh, it's coming. I got some. Oh, here's some right here. No, absolutely not. And no, Jesus doesn't become what we declare him as. He was, is, and always will be God. No matter what you think, what I think, no matter what you say or I say, John 1 verses 1 through 3 is very, very clear. See, this kind of belief is narcissistic and only tickles people's ears. I mean, it's all about me. You know, look how God loves me. My God thinks I'm so amazing. Look what I can do.
Look what I can do.
This is constantly a problem at Bethel Church in Redding, California. They constantly exalt men and demote Christ, which goes against Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, which is clear. Paul said right there that Jesus is the one most exalted, and Jesus is the one to be worshiped, and Jesus is the one who we will all have to bow before. That's why John the Baptist said in John chapter 3, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Number 7. Bill Johnson says that Jesus gave us an example that we can follow. Well, this should be interesting.
They learned, in a sense, the secret of Jesus' life and ministry, that he was a man of the Spirit, a man of the Spirit of God. I sometimes emphasize the humanity of Jesus only because I want to make sure that we understand that Jesus gave us an example that's followable.
Wow. Did you hear that? Bill Johnson is teaching and believing in a false Jesus. I mean, think about that for a second. Let's just have some real talk. Jesus gave us an example to follow. Let's break that down for a second. I mean, was Jesus ever sick? No, not at all. Did Jesus ever have any eye problems? Nope, he didn't. Now, was Bill Johnson's wife sick with cancer and died? Yes. Does Bill wear corrective lenses on his eyes? Yes. Did Jesus walk on water? Yeah, he did. Have any of us ever walked on water? No, we have not. Do you not see that Bill is pumping people up? And he's tickling ears once again to make people think that they can do just what Jesus did and even greater, which is a twisting of John 14, 12. You know, greater works, Jesus said, that we would do than him. Now, people forget it's not greater miracles, it's greater works. And so what are those works? Well, that's the proclamation of the gospel. Jesus's scope of his work of spreading the gospel was in a very small area around Jerusalem. But yet we are called to go to the ends of the earth. So yes, in scope, we will do greater works than what Jesus did. You should also notice by now that Bethel loves to teach a counterfeit Jesus. Now, why is that? And you need to hear this. Because most people do not know the Bible, and they just go along with it, thinking that this is just right on. But it is absolutely not right on. Number six. They claim that Jesus asked for forgiveness. Wow.
Pastors say some things that hurt me really bad. Hurt me so bad, messed me up emotionally, mentally, really messed me up. Nothing physical, nothing like that. A pastor I really respected said some words and hurt me so bad. And one time I was laying on the floor, actually it was in this room, I'm laying on the floor, and in a vision, in an encounter with God, in a vision, Jesus picks me up and holds me so close that I can't see anything. And he holds me so close, and Jesus starts to weep. And he says, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I said, what are you talking about? Please forgive you. He said, when that pastor hurt you, it's as if I hurt you. Because he's a member of my body. Please forgive me.
So Jesus asked this man for forgiveness? Are you kidding me? Think about that. Did Jesus ever do this anywhere in the Bible?
No.
No, not at all. I mean, if you ask someone for forgiveness, it means one of two things. A, you were wrong, or B, you sinned. Think about that for a second. Does that sound like the Jesus that's in the Bible?
No.
Was Jesus ever once wrong?
No.
Did Jesus ever sin once? No, not at all. Again, they have a false Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. 1 John 3, verse 5. They all say that Jesus was sinless. Also, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 says that Jesus was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So how could Jesus ever ask someone for forgiveness?
I just can't do it.
He couldn't. You need to hear that. This pastor is lying, and this is a pastor, so to speak. This guy is lying and making this up. Number five. They say that false prophecies do not make someone a false prophet. Oh, really?
Is that there's a difference between a bad prophetic word and a false prophet. You can get the word wrong and not be a false prophet. Because you give words that aren't completely accurate doesn't mean you're a false prophet. It just means that you have prophetic words that need help. I can tell you that there are people who've been wrong for 30 years. I'm not saying they're false prophets, I'm just saying they're bad ones. There's a difference between a false prophet and a bad prophet. False prophet has an evil heart. A bad prophet just gets everything wrong.
Come on, you guys. You have to know that that was a lie that you just heard. I mean, the Bible proves them wrong. So let's look at the Bible instead of listening to these guys. Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 through 22 makes it very clear that anyone who makes a false prophecy is a false prophet and is to be ignored. That God did not say those things. And actually, they were to be stoned. Aren't they glad they're not living in those days, because they would be dead. But we shouldn't be surprised, because according to Bill Johnson and their little Bethel supernatural school of Hogwarts and nasty garbage, I mean, those students are required to make 3 false prophecies before they can move on. Are you kidding me? Sadly, I'm not. But I mean, think about that. Do they realize that a false prophecy is the easiest way to spot a false prophet? I mean, plus, the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, says that we are to test everything against God's word. That's how we can tell if someone is true or false. Number four. Chris Vallotton says the gospel is not about salvation. You have got to be kidding me.
Day 61, the Spirit of the Lord God's upon you. Why? So you can get totally well and everyone with you gets well. For what reason? So you can rebuild ruined cities. I'm pointing out that the gospel is about It's not the gospel of salvation, it's the gospel of the kingdom. We weren't supposed to go everywhere preaching salvation, which is good, but how many know salvation is onto something bigger? Salvation is the entrance into the kingdom. Everything we do is important, keeping the main thing, and that is loving Jesus. But once we love Jesus, once we have Jesus in our life, Jesus is always looking to restore cities.
Wow, this should be a humongous red flag. They are teaching a false gospel. See, the gospel is the good news that Jesus saves wretched sinners like me and like you.
Hallelujah!
That's loud.
That he died and rose again on the third day, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. But Bethel wants to make the gospel about the kingdom, whatever that means. I mean, according to them, God just wants to rebuild cities and kingdoms. Said no verse ever. That's a lie, and it's absolute nonsense. And they can never back it up with scripture unless they twist it and mangle it and wrap it all around. Look what the Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says this, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The gospel is what Jesus proclaimed. And that was the same thing that the apostles proclaimed. Look at Acts 5, verse 42. It says, day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Did you notice how the focus of Bethel is never on anything solid or biblical? I mean, I wonder who's behind all this.
Could it be Satan?
Number 3. Bill Johnson teaches that we are sinless. Are you kidding me?
That we simply come and observe. A standard has been set that compels me to pay any price to follow that example. And Jesus has done exactly that. He mirrored what could be, or he illustrated, what is possible for anyone who has no sin. That was his first qualification. Secondly, he illustrated what could be possible to anyone who was completely empowered by the Holy Spirit. So how effective is the blood of Jesus in our life? Did it take care of just the big sins, the little sins, or all sin? Then you're sinless.
This is pure heresy. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. It makes it very clear that if we say that we have no sin, we are deceived and the truth is not in us. Paul echoed this same point when he talked about his own struggle with sin in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 24. Please hear me say that no one is sinless. Not your mom, not your dad, not your next door neighbor, not your pastor, not Jordan Riley, and not your kids. No one is. Jesus is the only one who was ever sinless, and you and I are not him. Again, this is man-centered teaching to make you feel good and pump you up. I mean, why would anyone leave a cult like Bethel that teaches that you're sinless, that Jesus just loves you just like you are, and that you can do things like Jesus and greater than Jesus? I mean, ding, 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 ding. That sounds pretty good. Sign me up. I'll take one. No. Heck no. If we are sinless, then there would be no need for Jesus and no need to confess our sins. But that's not true. And by these people making this statement, they are making the Bible out to look like a book of lies. This is demonic. Number 2. Bill Johnson says that Jesus was just a man in right relationship with God. Are you kidding me?
Jesus made this scary statement. He said the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. Do you know that Jesus so restricted his function on earth that he actually couldn't heal anyone? He couldn't multiply food. He couldn't cast out devils. He couldn't do any of that stuff because he had restricted himself to the life of a human being that would have to be dependent on the Father through the Holy Spirit.
I'm not going to mix my words, and I'm going to say this yet again. Bill Johnson is believing in and teaching a false God. See, Jesus was not just a man in right relationship with God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the second member of the Godhead. Please hear me say that. Bill is twisting Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Now, yes, Jesus did humble himself and became a man, but he is truly God and truly man. He has always been God. He will always be God. He's always been in control. He will always be in control. See, if Jesus ever stopped being God for just one moment, then he was never God to begin with.
Oh, snap, you got me again.
Jesus even said in Revelation 1, verse 8, that he was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Colossians 2, verse 9, says that in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Think about that a second. Jesus healed the sick. He casted out demons. He controlled the weather. He forgave sin, and he conquered death. He did it not because he was some man in right relationship with God. No, not at all. He did it because he is God. See, they're deceiving you to make you think that you can do all this stuff too. But guess what? You can't. You cannot do it. I cannot do this. See, Bill is a mouthpiece of Satan to deceive people and lead them astray. But before we get to number one, I want to look at one dishonorable mention. Watch this.
Manifestations that we experienced was the glory cloud. It's about in 2011. And this glitter-like substance was just kind of up along the ceiling, kind of moving in the air currents of the room, but not all the air currents of the room that we could see. Like, I remember being mesmerized by that and also flabbergasted.
Just, yeah, totally.
I had no words. I had no, like, my brain couldn't compute what's happening in that moment.
No.
What was going on with you with the glory cloud?
Oh, the same. I had heard about it, you know, in yeah. history. I'd heard about it, that sort of thing happening. I actually had friends that had that experience. And when it started happening, it actually started happening at our Friday night meetings 3 weeks before I ever saw it happen. Mm-hmm. And then it just started happening on Sunday night. It would happen late in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
After most people had gone, and then it started moving up earlier than.
And like, so some of our maintenance team would see it late in the evening, sort of deal?
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
And they would talk about it?
Or our team that was just finishing praying for people.
Because okay,
we always end with praying.
Mm-hmm.
So it was happening then, and then it started moving up.
And finally, we're at number one, where they teach that Jesus was born again. This is disgusting.
Today I have begotten you. The second psalm. You're my beloved son. Today I have begotten you. Acts 13 tells us that phrase from the Father, today I have begotten you, is in reference to the resurrection. So he was born through Mary, the Virgin, and then he was born again in resurrection.
Wow. Did you hear what he just said? Jesus was born again? Are you kidding me?
Come on now, dawg.
Said no verse ever. I mean, come on, you guys. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8, that we must be born again. We must be saved. But according to Bill Johnson, he's believing and teaching in a false Jesus who needed saving. Wow. That just blows my mind. And let me tell you right now, Bill, if you ever see this, you're wrong. You need saving, sir. This is absolutely demonic. Jesus is fully God. He had no sin. He had no sinful nature like you and I do. He never sinned against God. And he was never dead in his sin like we were, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now, let me be very clear with you all. Bethel Church is demonic. They are extremely unbiblical, and they are deceiving people with a false Jesus, with false doctrine, with false worship, and with false signs and wonders. And if you know anyone who is trapped in this false movement, please note that the most loving thing you can do is to tell them the truth and show them this video.